Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new program about Becky Books. This is a program where we will talk about Becky Books, all things Becky Books, and the fascinating topics that these books will inspire. So today we have Tuesday, heretofore known as Becky Books Tuesday. I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and I'm going to be hosting this program, which I know will be a fun and rewarding time that we can spend together. So I'm really glad that you're here and you've joined us today. And whether you are new to Becky Books, that you've not even heard of the concept of Becky Books, or maybe you are a collector of Becky Books and have every one, I think that either way, this program is going to be a great place for us to learn together, to be inspired together, and most importantly, to be connected to one another. So I'll start out today a little bit. I want to introduce myself, but before I do that, I wanted to mention that it's Becky Book Tuesday, as I say, on our Becky Book Show. And normally, I would be inviting you to settle in and relax with a cold beverage if it's a hot day where you are, or a hot beverage if it's another climate where you are. But today is actually Tisha B'Av. And so this might be a new word for you. You know how there's so much to remember and learn when you're first starting out on this walk with Yeshua in the Torah. I totally understand that. But Tisha B'Av is a very somber day of mourning. And so you might think it's an interesting day to start a really happy new program, which the Becky Books program will be. This will be a happy reprieve and refreshing inspiration for you in your day. But today is a somber day of mourning. So hang in there because we're going to be covering some aspects of Tisha B'Av together, because that's how we're going to frame this program today, is really about being together. So before I go any further, let me just tell you a little bit about who I am so you'll know who's talking to you here. So I'm Dr. Robin Gould. And what I am is I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I have a doctorate in religious education. And so that's my main informal education. And I'm an author of several Becky books, and I travel the country and I teach and lecture. And my specialty is attachment therapy, actually, in terms of how this relates with us and the Torah. I feel like that's a very important topic for people to discover. Often they've not had much education or a kind of awareness on that level. Sometimes they have, which is real nice. I'd love to hear people's stories about how they discovered that and got really in touch with that. But that's my specialty, is to work with people to understand, you know, God is our primary attachment figure, and that is a beautiful thing. And that's why our intro is, it's a lovely day, because every day that the Lord has made, we will be glad and rejoice in it. So I'll tell you, I actually live on the East Coast right now, currently in Vermont, cold Vermont, even today, a little bit cold. And I have two adult sons. I have my son Daniel, who's actually a United States Marine. And he's overseas. And I have my older son is Dominic, and he's a computer expert. And my husband David, who's, I'm going to say, is my better half. So that's who I am and what I'm about. And I'm excited about what Becky Books are about and really what you're about, because we're going to have different guests and take questions and have a really fun time on this program. But back to Tisha B'Av and to some somber discussion here. I want to frame this day, because it is a day of mourning, with my whole theme, which is connecting in life, connecting in mourning. Tisha B'Av is a day historically known where many bad things, very somber things, have happened. The destruction of both temples, the expulsion of Jews from various places, the day the 12 spies came back and there was a bad report from some of them. And so there's just a lot associated with this day. So it's typically a day of prayer and fasting and just mourning these losses. And so I guess I'll say that since we're starting our show this way, I don't know if you've ever met a friend at a funeral. Sounds weird, but I actually have. I've met a very close friend at a funeral. And there was a very strong sense of connection that we had, because we were both grieving the same thing. We were both together And this was definitely, certainly a connector. So I'm hoping that we can frame today's show in the spirit of Tisha B'Av, but with the idea of joining together against the things that have separated us and scattered us all over the world. And that's really ultimately what our mourning is accomplishing. And that's where our awareness comes from, is how scattered we are. And a main thread that you'll get in this program is the main thread and thrust of what my ministry is about. And that is my anthem, is that we are strong when we are together. And so our grief is more potent in community, and so is our joy. So that's where we're starting today. So we'll start out a little different than the upbeat sort of thing you're always going to get on this program generally, but that's okay because we're going with how things go. And that's how I am going to look at this. So before we go much further, I want to tell you that I have a special guest today, my dear friend and wonderful author and just a great teacher. I've learned so much from her. Kisha Gallagher is here, so I'll bring her on in a bit. But I wanted to just pave the way for her about the things we're going to talk about. And I want to talk to you about what Becky Books are, because some people don't know what Becky Books are. And that's okay. But what a Becky Book is, let me just give you a basic overview of what they are. These are books that are written by women authors. This is an initiative that was spearheaded by Dr. Halissa Aylwine. If you're familiar with her, she is the creator of the Creation Gospel. If you've ever done that, that is just a captivating, beautiful, brilliant study, taking the Torah on in a very beautiful way. And it's an absolutely gorgeous experience. If you've not done it, I would highly recommend that you pick up her materials and even get into a class. But this was something that she spearheaded for a couple reasons. She wanted to equip people with resources that were useful, not a big, huge book, a Becky book. Okay, so when I say Becky book, it's an acronym for Building and Encouraging the Kingdom of Yeshua. And that's what these are to do. They're not to flood you with a drink from the fire hose. They're not to shame you. They're not to be a snarky way of getting a point across. These are actual resources that are small books designed for, it could be a seasoned believer who needs a refresher, or it could be a new believer who's just starting to walk this walk and wants resources that are easy and small to digest. But we do take a topic and we discuss it in depth. We take it to a very full extent. Nothing in Becky Books is opinion. It's all factual and well-vetted and presented in a scholarly fashion. So they're above reproach, really. So that's kind of what we wanted to do, was to provide you with a resource that would be helpful and you wouldn't come back on you one day as having some weird theories that didn't pan out. So they're very safe, and I'm excited about them. The second part of her initiative was really Dr. Aylwine likes to promote and lift up women, in particular in using their gifts of writing, their gifts of sharing, their intuitive nature to, you know, be tenacious in seeking out all the nuggets of excitement. Not that men don't do that, but she wanted to also provide a platform for women to be able to come forth with what they have to share. And so Becky Books are women authors. And I do love that about Dr. Aylwine. She promotes women. She promotes other people. She is lifts people up and helps them to fulfill their destiny. So I really appreciate that about her. And so that's pretty exciting. And so the Becky Book program, and you're thinking, well, how much can a program be just talking about a few books? Well, it's actually quite a few books. And as I mentioned earlier, the books inspire a lot of discussion. I will say that even a seasoned scholar will still probably learn a couple things in these books, because we do take them to a pretty vast extent. But we also will be bringing on experts and that are in topics that branch off even from Becky Books. Very interesting topics that people are relevant to people, and that are questions that you're asked. And it's nice to get other people's perspective and to, you know, get an expert in that field. So we'll be bringing on the Becky Book authors for sure, and letting them, you know, describe the books, their process in writing the books, what inspired them, because these are some fascinating women. I've met them and I like them and I trust them. So I'm very excited to have them here. And we have one here today. And I'm excited about the experts. I've already talked to a few people that are fascinating in their line of work and they were very interested. So I'm very excited about all that. But first, I wanted to bring in my guest, this woman, Kisha. Many of you probably have heard of her or heard of her. Her name is on my lips at all times for anything to do with the new moon or a lot of women's issues, a lot of things with the Taurus. She's very well studied and I've really enjoyed her as a person. And so Kisha is here. So I'm going to ask Kisha to come on in and to come in and introduce herself and tell us about yourself, Kisha.
Good afternoon, Robin. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm so glad you're here.
I am tickled to be here, especially when it's about Becky books. I want to tell everyone, you are pronouncing my name Kisha, but you will hear it pronounced Keisha. I actually prefer Keisha, but either one of those works for me because in my family, I get both and it's okay. So I know that I'm going to get questions about that, Robin. So I wanted to make.
I thought you preferred Kisha.
No, it's fine. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it at all. Wait, what? You're my guest.
I know. It's okay. It's no big deal.
Keisha. I have you in my phone spelled as Keisha.
Well, it's phonetically is spelled Kisha.
Yeah, I know, but I have you written as Keisha, so I would say Keisha.
So you say
Keisha. Because I thought that was before what you were. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
No, it is funny, and I get asked this question all the time, so it's actually good that you did that.
I'm off to a good start. I don't know my guest name, but okay.
You do. I actually have, most of my friends call me Keisha, but I have a lot that do call me Kisha. I don't correct them, so that's
okay.
That's why you're confused.
Well, if you like Keisha, I'm going to give you Keisha. So
it's no big deal.
Give you Keisha.
Yes. Well, I did have I sometimes use a pen name, Yiska, so I was confusing everyone. I finally got rid of that.
Yes, that is the Hebrew way. Many, many words for many things, for one thing.
I know, it's ridiculous. But tell us
about yourself and who you are and how we can reach you. Tell us all that.
Okay. Well, my name is Kisha Gallagher, and I have a website called Grace in Torah. You can find it at graceintorah.net, and it has just a variety of lots of things. And like you mentioned, one of my focuses is definitely women's issues. So you can find lots of articles about the role of women, biblical role of women, I should say. And then I am the author of the Becky book called The Biblical New Moon. It's a guide for celebrating. So it's not a calendar book or a how to cite the moon book. It is about celebrating the new moon, which was a lot of fun to write. And I am involved with a very large group here that gathers every month. And so part of the book is the gleanings that we have done over the years, just celebrating the creator's new month, new Hebrew month, every time it rolls around. So I have that. And I'm also a radio host, co-host with Dr. Deb Wiley on a show called Renewed on Hebrew Nation Radio that airs on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific time, or I'm on Eastern, so it's 11 a.m. on Wednesdays for me. And we focus on testimonies. So it's not about Becky books, but we have a lot of different people come on. Some of them you know, some of them you don't, because you know, that Abba works in the lives of each and every one of us. And I am so encouraged and edified by the many testimonies that we get to hear. So people can find me at graceintorah.net, or they can find Grace and Torah on Facebook just by plugging in Grace and Torah. That Facebook page will come up. If they want to find me in the context of Renewed, they can do the same thing. It's Renewed HNR. Put that in a search window on Facebook and you can find me there. But I have been in studying Hebrew roots for a long time. I've always loved to write. I began trying to walk this walk and learning everything that I could back in 2004. And of course, just like everyone else, you know, I've had to throw out a lot of things. I had to learn a lot of things. Then I had to throw out some other things that I learned. You know how that goes. There's this filtering process that we go through. And that's one of the reasons I love the concept of Becky books, because it really helps you filter through a lot of those things in a very balanced way. Because as you know, it is very easy for the pendulum to swing way too far to the left or right when we are just learning. And Dr. Halisa Alwine is just brilliant about helping a person to stay in that balanced frame. She's just the ideal mentor, and her materials all do that. And so it's not surprising to me that she came up with this concept.
Yes, I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny because we were talking about this ourselves, how when we started out, you know, fairly bunch of years ago, it wasn't like it is today where you had all of these you couldn't Google things
right
readily. Like we were laughing how we actually had to go to the library and like get a book out. But because this was, you know, back 15, 20 years ago and in this sort of thing. And now you're right. It's like you can Google anything and anything weird can pop up with a very convincing, compelling sort
argument.
Of story. Yes. Argument about it. And then I really wish I had Becky books back in the day.
Me too. I think it would have saved me a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think it does. And I think it's a calendar of what are the important things and what are the things that you're most commonly going to be asked. Right. And you're probably not going to be asked all the time about the conspiracy theories, except when people are making fun of you. But right. People are curious, what is the deal with Peter's vision? And what is this whole new moon discussion? You know, and how nice to have a book to hand them. And I've actually, of course, you know, I've read your book several times. I've given it to friends and bought it as gifts. And I love that book, actually. It's a very, it's an easy read. It's meaty. It's like, it's a protein with sides, though. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my book, Lost with Controversies, is like a meat with no sides. Like, it's just very meaty,
but it's exactly what they need. It's exactly what they need in that topic, though. It's so, it's succinct and exactly what they need to hear.
And they had no buffers. So that's the point of the book, actually. No. So, yeah. So I think you're right about that. I think that is a very good strength of the Becky books, is to help people stay balanced and not kind of fly off into, weird theories that get weirder all the time.
Yeah, because there's no lack for things that vie for your attention, even in the Torah movement. I mean, it's incredible some of the things that pop up and then just take people's focus away. And you know that that's the enemy, and because anything that you're focusing on or fearing, you're setting it apart. You're making it holy. And it's usually some issue that has... that's just minuscule, or, you know, that's just off the radar of what the weightier matters of the Torah are all about.
It's not relevant, and it's divisive, and it's taking the flock and it's dividing them into this camp and that camp and that sort of thing. And I feel like that is so damaging to the body, and that's not what a family is about. You know, if people want to have an offshoot, that's one thing. But when it becomes a divisive matter where people are drawing lines in the sand between fellowship, I think we're seeing that. And that's been a very difficult thing, especially with the world watching us and with the mainstream watching us, where, you know, we're off the mainstream and, you know, what are they seeing? What sort of squabbles and disputes are they just like, what are you guys all about?
Yes, I know. We destroy our witness often. Just in our ignorance, or sometimes in our zeal. I mean, zeal is good, but it can be misplaced.
Yes. And I like the Becky books because I really think that it's helpful for me personally. And I know we've talked about this, is that I like having a resource that I can hand to a friend or a family member where it might not be the same as if they're hearing it from me, their friend or family member. So it's like one good thing about a Becky book is not all of them can be read in one sitting, in my opinion, which is good. And some of them can be because they're short, with short chapters. And, no one interrupts you when you're reading a Becky book. You're not interrupted. You know, like you handed them a resource, they can read it at their own pace. And there's no big interruption factor where they're countering you with an answer to a question, answering a question with an answer. You know what I mean? You're not.
Yes.
They just have their own space and their own headspace to kind of process the information. They can agree with it or not. But I like that compact resource to hand out. And so if somebody, you know, is curious about, well, Peter, you know, we can eat all things because Peter had a vision. Well, one of my books is Peter's Vision, Beacon or Bacon. So I say, well, you know, let me hand you this book. You can check it out. You might enjoy it. You might not, but it's nothing to me to give it to you. I hand the book and they can go off and do with it what they want. Generally, they'll read it and be like, wait a minute. You really can't dispute it, which is really the goal, is just to give them something of quality that will help them with the topic.
Right. And it's, and because of its size, it's, you know, it's, they generally are focused on one particular topic. So they're not having to wade through a whole huge volume, which is also very helpful. It's just like we're pinpointing the topic.
Yes. It is like a beach book for the diehards. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's like, it is for the diehards. Yeah.
You do it at the beach because they're small and short, but it is, it's its own audience. It's really for the what I would say, the bride who is pursuing the groom, so, which is how I look at that. So I'll mention a few of the titles of some of the Becky books. I'll just start with mine that I, well, we talk about yours first, actually, The Biblical New Moon, which is a guide for celebrating, which I really love that book and highly recommend it. I have mine, Peter's Vision, Beacon or Bacon. I have another one called Colossal Controversies, which kind of focuses on the letters to the Colossians. And then I have one, Divorce and Remarriage in the Bible, which is always a hot topic and is a hot seller too. And then we have Rabbi Krieger and her books, Introduction to the Jewish Sources, mm-hmm. Preserving History, Structure, and Heart. And that is a good, deep book.
It really is. If you want to understand what people are talking about when they're talking about the Talmud, the Mishnah, and what is this? How did it come about? Again, it's only like 100 pages, the book, and you get a really wonderful overview of all of it.
It's like college in a year in one small book.
It,
like,
it, you know, really is.
It's like a year of college. Like, that's right. It's like,
yes,
seminary and got an A because you read this book. You know? And then we have, by Dr. Ale Wine, we have The Seven Shepherds, which is Hanukkah and Prophecy. Fascinating book. That's going to be a whole 2-hour show in itself.
Oh, yeah. And that one is definitely meaty. That's not a beginner book, but it's
not wonderful. So much a beach book, but a real cool, like, even Bible study book with a group. And then we have another book by Dr. Ale Wine, What is the Torah? Which is a nice basic book to introduce people that's a foreign word to many people. And it can mean many things in context of how people are writing. So that's a nice one. I have another one by Dr. Ale Wine, Truth, Tradition, or Tare, Growing in the Word. That's a very important book in terms of unity and healing some of the divisions in our family here.
Amen.
And another one by Rabbi Krieger, which is Growing in Holiness, which is the Hebrew calendar day by day. So that's a few I have here in my stack. I know there are more.
Oh, yeah. And then we have Jane Defendifer. She just recently published a book called The Sabbath, His Day of Delight. Yep.
I've given all those out. That's why I didn't
because it's so helpful. I do the same thing. I'll buy more and then I give them away. Buy more and give them away. Yep. So this, the Sabbath, if people are wondering why in the world are you now keeping Saturday instead of Sunday, that sort of thing. It's written, it's very informative, but it's also gentle. So it's not going to be, you know, offensive to someone who doesn't quite understand. So that's a great resource as well.
Yes. Yeah. And on a hot topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all hot topics, really. Some might not sound as immediately hot topic, but then when you get to talking and you don't know what people are saying, you realize, wow, I really need to get, you know, one of those more, you know, school books that might sound like a school book, but really it's so helpful.
It is so helpful. Yes. Dr. Elwine also wrote a Becky book called Messianic Shabbat Service.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so that you know, if you're going into a Messianic, which, you know, there's lots of variety of how people get together and how their worship services are laid out. But she is speaking in this book from a perspective where it's more from Jewish tradition. And so you know what the, you know, you know, what the ark is up there that has a Torah scroll in it, and what these tallits are for, the prayer service, the liturgy, that sort of
yes.
thing. He explains those things.
And etiquette. So if you're in that yes. environment, you don't feel so intimidated because you know basic behavioral responses to certain elements of that service, which I think people can be intimidated with just anything when they're new.
Yes, I remember vividly thinking, who are these people that think this way? You know, when I was first learning, they must be all weird. And apparently I'm weird too. So,
well, I'm going to join you.
But, you know, it is a little intimidating that first time you're going to go visit either a home group or a fellowship that are messianic and it's Shabbat. You know, it's good to have an idea of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, you and I went to Israel together. So we traveled there together, which was a really wonderful experience. And some of the people in our group were new. And I don't think they were home 5 hours and still in jet lag. And they had gone and ordered every Becky book because, you know, we were just sharing about them and gotten a lot of feedback. And yes. which I really like that. I like, especially when the beginners are excited about it and they've been able to be invited and courted rather than shamed or manipulated, you know, and,
right.
and really want that aspect of, I feel like the way people are invited is just as important as the information they're invited to be a part of.
I agree 100%. And, you know, that's part of the reason why these books are written by women, because we tend to be more nurturing. And with those who are what you would say babies or even young in the faith or even to Torah, they don't need a hard, stern father batting them around. They need mothers. They need that gentle spirit. And so that's another aspect of the platform of the Becky books.
Yes, that is very true. I always also associate it with, like I said, a courtship. And if you're a vessel of courtship, you're not approaching someone saying, I'd like to be betrothed to you because you're all these bad things, you know,
exactly.
It's not so much an engagement I want to get into. You know, it's I'm imploring.
Right. I'm telling by someone to him telling you everything you're doing wrong. No.
Right.
Yeah. That's not going to woo you.
It's not wooing you. And it doesn't mean there's no elements of correction in the books because obviously they're educational and right. we learn things and we do better once we learn. But the whole idea that there's a whole evangelistic style of shaming, which tends to be pretty rampant in the mainstream. But when you're being courted, that won't woo you. And that's never a foundation upon which to build a captivating, exciting love.
Right.
And ultimately, our relationship with the Torah as a vessel to understand God's personality and the way his ways would be a way of being implored into a beautiful sanctuary and not shamed out of an ugly world.
Right. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I want. So that's what I envision this program to be for people, for I want the guests to come on to be blessed and feel promoted and encouraged. And then I want the people listening to feel refreshed and enjoyed. Like maybe not so much on Tisha B'Av, even though I hope there's a little refreshment today. I'm
yes.
conflicted on how to even proceed on that. But I will say that I hope that people can come on to this program, tune in, and just feel like they're together with family members and that we're connected.
Right. Yes, I agree. I agree. And, you know, although we are in the midst of Tisha B'Av or the ninth of Av, as you mentioned, and we're commemorating the destruction of the first and second temple. After tonight, though, when the sun goes down, there is a shift. You know, there's a shift from that mourning to rejoicing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the listeners will probably hear the recording here too. So they'll be already in the midst of that shift. So if you in your personal life, because I've talked to a lot of people lately, Robin, that they feel this heaviness in their spirit right now. And some of them don't even know why. Some do, because there have been things that have been going on. Everybody seems to be getting pressed right now. Which is normal. We've been in the dire straits leading up to the ninth of off, but there is going to be a shift, and it does change from mourning to rejoicing. And yes. as we're headed into getting closer to Elul and the fall feast days.
Yes, I agree. And I think part of that shift is because the answer to our problems has already been given us. And as we mourn, we are still covered. And Becky Books, I believe in a small way, and in some people's lives, a very big way, is part of that answer. A part of an initiative and an effort to reach out to these scattered people and to bring them home, and to bring them home safely.
Amen.
And to bring them home kindly so that we can become a family again.
Amen.
And so that's the shift. Yeah. So that's the shift I'm excited about. And so, yeah, I've really, I'm really excited about this being Tuesday too. Mark and I were talking about how it's Tuesday at 2 Central Time. And I'm like, well, I'm in Eastern Time, so it's Tuesday at 3. So we were thinking how nice that was. And I was thinking, well, if Tuesday at 2 makes sense and Tuesday at 3, well, Tuesday the third day. So we're 2 for 2 on those time zones with how we pick the date for this program. And I'm hoping people are, I'm picturing people in their kitchen chopping vegetables, prepping dinner, or they're just maybe in their car, or maybe they take a time off and they are sitting in the back swing and they're having a drink of iced tea or whatever, and they're just relaxing. And so that's kind of what I'm envisioning people enjoying this program in, that tone. I think that's the tone I'd like to set.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Yep. And Becky Books have that tone anyway. So
yeah, they do. I think they really do. And so we look forward to having, so some people that I was thinking, Keisha, of bringing on were, one of the things we had talked about was how Becky Books help people safely journey onto this path and stay in a more balanced, safe state of awareness. And one thing that's the antagonist to that would be a cult. I was actually going to bring on a guest that specializes in cult thinking and help people to be aware of that, have strategies to dispel that from their lives, and to be, able to recognize when people are in that. And so that's an example of how that's an extension of the Becky Books. That's a topic that people are interested in and will learn from and benefit from. So that's just one example of how to extend what we are doing here, because the books cover a lot and they're very well vetted. They're very extensive on some level, but there's, to make it a small book, you couldn't go into every single thing you wanted.
Right.
And so we'd like to have people that are experts in a particular field and to take it a step further.
That's good. Yeah. And that is, like you said, that's something that we all need. It's something we all wonder about, and we do need to be wary. We do need to know. And because, how many times have you had people that didn't know any better that thought that you just might be in a cult because you are keeping Torah and because you are keeping the Sabbath and the feast days? But of course, that isn't what the definition of a cult is.
Right.
And so we need to know the difference, and you need to be able to help explain to people the difference. So that's going to be a great show.
Yes, I think so. Because I do believe, as particularly new people, if you can actually Google things, terminology, and they'll say, oh, the cult of Hebrew roots or whatever. I'm Jewish, so I am exempt from some of that mockery just by the word Jewish, I guess. And that's
right.
Been a little helpful for me, but I've definitely seen a lot of mocking. And you're right. It's an interesting topic to get to the bare bones of what a cult really is. And people are always surprised. What I think is interesting about the Becky Books is, When you go into something in a scholarly way, oftentimes it does go against the mainstream, but that it ironically was the opposite of what the mainstream promoted that it said. And I think that it's very interesting how that happens, particularly with my books that.
That's what I was going to say. Yours. Yeah. The dietary laws really that hits home with.
It really does. And it is such an eye opener about what I didn't know. I could write how many books on what I didn't know, and how ironic that it was the absolute opposite. And so when you actually can take the time to delve into a topic, sometimes we will realize we had a lot of judgments, we had a lot of biases, and we were just flat out wrong about things. And it's freeing and liberating to learn and to move ahead and step forward correctly. That's huge for people.
Hey, and your book on divorce and remarriage fits that mold perfectly too. I mean, you're talking about translation differences just changing the whole game on those who, you know, have been told they're going to go to hell because they've had a divorce, or they're going to have to live in singleness or something.
Yeah.
So, which is just so hurtful. And so there's a lot of liberty that comes from reading Becky books.
Oh, absolutely. And the Becky books, in that book in particular, and others, they actually have the index. In the index, they actually have, we actually include the Greek wording, right? Like the interlinear, we actually include it so you can read it word for word to prove everything that we are saying, and that we are writing. And we all vet the books, all the authors together. We vet them and make sure we are all in agreement that this is a helpful resource that's not divisive or difficult, you know, and intimidating, and all of those things that we don't want our books to be, and make them be about, these are the people's books. And I think that, yeah, divorce and remarriage is a nice Torah pathway too. I feel like it's a good gateway to Torah.
It is.
That's a real good one. That people are really enjoying that topic and finding a lot of liberty there. And I love your book on the new moon, not just because I love you, but because I love the book. It's just such a fun read, and it's such a great reason to celebrate. And I'm sorry, but I look for reasons to celebrate because life is hard.
Yes.
And I have so enjoyed that you have fleshed that topic out and provided another opportunity. Well, you didn't provide it. God did. You illuminated what he illuminated that he provided.
Right.
to actually get together and focus on the Creator and what he has done. And I just love that. So, I mean, I love your book.
Well, thank you. I tried to make it pretty engaging and easy to read and still make it informative. And that was the whole idea behind it, because when we get together, it is very joyful. I mean, we learn, we pray, there's all these things, but it's so rewarding. If people just start doing it, they're going to be blessed.
Oh, I was. I actually flew out there to attend one of your gatherings and was able to share some things. And boy, that was a fun group of people.
Yeah. Yes, we are all, we are happy to celebrate around here.
Yes, I learned how to make hors d'oeuvres that were so easy and amazing. I'm sure I gained about 5 pounds after that one. That was really fun. Everyone just brought food and was just happy. And just the tone of people when they walked through the door was that they were just ready to celebrate and to be together. And I'm just, you know, one of the things that can happen is, you know, you feel like we're used to mainstream holidays, many of them that we've all shunned. And some people are still in them. No judgment here. What I'm saying is, you feel like, why does the mainstream, the holidays that we've had to walk away from, why do they have all the fun and all the good food and all the best music? And,
right,
you know, we're doing these things that feel foreign and whatever. But I feel like having such a wonderful, just a monthly celebration.
Yes.
Is just to help buffering all that until people are getting used to more of the biblical.
We get to start all over. You realize, you know, we have a fresh start once again, you know, and sometimes you really, after some months, you know, that they're just so hard. You're like, oh, I can't wait for a new start, a do over, you know? So that's, and it all has to do with the people that come. We have them from all walks of life and observance and Torah. We have a lot of new people that come in that don't know anything, and they're really, really excited about keeping the festivals after they experience one. So that's good news.
Yeah, it is good news. I'm thinking that some of the people that I met at your gathering, that was actually the very first time coming, and they left saying, I'm coming again, and I'm bringing 3 people with me. So.
Right. That happens a lot. Yeah. We have to break them into more than one group sometimes because they're too big.
Well, is there anything else you want to say about your book? What inspired you to write it? Or just, we're going to go to break in a minute, but I just wanted to just maybe entice people a little bit into.
Well, yes.
Well,
what inspired me, obviously when you start keeping Torah, you start paying attention to the sky, not because you're worshiping the sky, but because they serve you, you know, those fourth day lights are governors. And so I had paid attention to the moon somewhat, but we didn't make it a point to actually gather and have a celebration on the new moons until my husband ended up losing his job in 2013. And he had a dream that he would have one at the next new moon. And we both looked at each other and I said, who reckons time by the new moon? And we knew that this was probably something prophetic. So we clung to that. And sure enough, on that next new moon, he had a job. Well, that really got me to studying a whole lot more about the moon. And it's sort of like the redheaded stepchild in the scheme of Sabbaths and feast days. And it's not mentioned very often, but when it is usually, you know, juxtaposed right next to the Sabbath and the feast days. So there's great importance with the celebrating the new moon. And I just want people to get excited about it. It seems like the only thing they were excited about is fighting over when it should be sighted and when it should start. And that's not the point of the new moon, not the arguing and the bickering.
Yes.
So I love that. And so that's why I wrote the book. It's like, whatever calendar you choose, my book does have the bias. We do follow the Jewish calendar for the most part, but just get together and celebrate.
Yes.
You know, maybe sacrifice your own strong conviction to gather with others and see what happens.
Exactly. It's like take back the moon. So we don't have to look up and think, that is the source of all of my friends and me splitting up.
right.
No, it's a beautiful luminary body and we can work together.
Instead of using it as a source of division, let's use it for gathering.
Yes, that is such a good, let's pause on that wonderful note and take a quick break. And we're going to get back with Keisha Gallagher and talk more about the Becky books. So we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Becky Book Show is Right. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're joining us today with our guest, Keisha Gallagher, and I'm Dr. Robin Gould. And we have been discussing this new phenomenon sweeping the nation called Becky Books. And so are you still with me, Keisha?
I am here, yes.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad on my first day I have Keisha Gallagher.
I don't know about that.
Setting the tone for our books. So anyway, we were headed to break while Miss Keisha was talking about her book, the Biblical New Moon, which was a guide for celebrating. And she was describing sort of the inspiration behind the book, which I think it's interesting. I love how that just came out of your own personal life and your own personal curiosity with what seems like not that losing a job is benign and mundane, but just kind of like it came across your desk, basically.
Yes. That is usually how most things I write about. That's how I get inspiration. It's usually by just something that's happened or something that sometimes it can be a pretty tragic, like losing our breadwinner's job. But then it's been just, you know, other people in my life. So that's pretty much all of that. If you go to my blog, graceandtora.net, that's what you're going to see. Is just random thoughts sometimes just on different topics, but the moon,
I love your blog,
has become very special to me because of that. And because, I was through a friend here in East Tennessee, Deborah, I just started sharing with her all the stuff I'm learning about the moon. I'm like, I think we really need to be more mindful about the new month every month. And she said, well, let's just do it. And so there started us gathering. And it's just grown from just little small beginnings to, you know, every month there's generally at least 12 of us, if not more. And we have to, like I said, break it up across homes. And so if you do read my Becky book and you do initiate a group, I would love to hear from you because I want to create a map and that maybe I'll put on my website. That will show where these little figurative signal fires are going up every month where people are celebrating.
Oh, that's such a good idea. See, that's putting us together. That's the point.
Yes. Yeah.
That is excellent. That is
right. I don't care what calendar you're following. That's not the point of the map. It's just, are you gathering? Are you celebrating?
Yes. We will never, ever reach that conclusion. And it might be that we don't know the day or hour because we just no one can ever decide on a calendar. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. But I do honor, you know, your effort to bring the family together. And I think that's, as a marriage and family therapist, my whole idea of what reality should consist of in a healthy paradigm is a healthy, functioning family. That doesn't mean we agree with everything. That doesn't mean we aren't going to have spirited conversations and debates, but that we have each other's backs and that we want to be together.
Absolutely. And that is what I think has been missing. And I think that's what we have a lot of people working toward now. We do realize that we're not all going to think the same way. And it's okay. We can look outside our window, as Brad Scott would say, and look at the creation, and we can see diversity for a reason. But we, at the end of the day, we can still love one another and be family.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I cover that also in my blog, and I didn't even mention what my website is, which I, you just reminded me of that. So my website is New Covenant Path. So that's www.newcovenantpath.com. And I have a blog in there. And when I'm organized, I actually do it. But that's how people could reach me if they needed to. And I'll say a little bit more about the Becky books and the genesis of the Becky books with Dr. Illwine and with her inspiration was that she really does have a heart for beginners and worries, rightfully so, that their first exposure is going to be a challenging, divisive, difficult exposure. And so we really wanted to have some books out there, as we've been saying repeatedly, because it's a point that can't be made redundant enough because it's such an important point, but that's something that people can grasp onto that's friendly. And so one of the plans that she and I had talked together was she asked me what's one of the top things that people are so concerned about? Well, that to me in my world has been the dietary laws. That seems to be a very big topic of discussion, of debate, of people being angry, of people being curious, of people being excited. Seems to really affect people because it's something that affected their direct lives that they were to act on that day. It was, you know what I mean? It was like, yes. I might go and do X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to eat today. So that was always something that was an idea we wanted to, as we would say, carpet bomb that topic and just basically take all of the areas of the Bible that had been misperceived, misunderstood, mistranslated, and actually educate on those topics. So my first books, the first two, I have Colossal Controversies, which touches on the feasts and particularly the dietary laws, because part of what that book's about is where there's a misinterpretation and a mistranslation of what's being said there. And then Peter's vision, which of course is a big one with the dietary laws. What did that vision mean? And it's so much bigger than a ham sandwich, and that needed to be said. And so after I did that, those two books, I have another one that's a couple weeks from being done. It's in final editing now, but in the meantime, what happened was this divorce issue had really reared its head. I mean, really, it's not new that it's reared its head, but there were so many women I was encountering when I would travel to speak. And of course, when I teach about the dietary laws, I teach it from a perspective of intimacy with the Creator and not so much a rule book. Right now, I'm not saying these aren't rules, but what I'm saying is the paradigm is love and devotion.
Right.
And in that intimate setting where my teachings tend to get, where people can be more transparent and really talk about things that they're dealing with. You know, the eating of the unclean, you know, the word of abomination. Well, that can go into aspects of marriage words with relationships. That word can be associated. So anyway, this topic just kept coming up. And so being a marriage and family therapist, of course, you know, divorce is not something I'm ever hoping for people. Right. But sometimes it's the solution to what's wrong. And so writing that book was very important because it's an area of extreme bondage for many people, right. A lot of condemnation, a lot of division. And so I had to stop on the dietary laws just long enough to get that book out. And now we've got another one coming out, which is going to finish covering the main topics of question where people would argue a dietary law with a Torah believer. So that's kind of the story of how my books were written and why they were written in that order. Sometimes just something, we wanted to be a series in a row with the dietary laws, but something came in, that was just more important at that
right.
point. So we try to put the books out like that.
Yes, we do. And there, if there's a burning topic that you would like us to cover, you can always email us through BeckyBooks.com, BekyBooks.com. And maybe we will have an upcoming book on it, but there are several in the works right now. We haven't handled, the whole feast books, and we're going to do that. Sarah Krieger is working on one for the spring feast. I'm working on one for the fall feast. And then there's other issues that are going to be eventually covered in Becky Books. And so we have a pretty big vision for it too, Robin, because we're talking about a lot of beginner topics right now, but some of the books are going to be on a little bit higher tier. Like Dr. Alwine's book on the Hanukkah, the Seven Shepherds, is already up there. It's meatier. But she's also discussed possibly doing a book that's written more, maybe even in the first person, that would be testimonial, that would be helpful to people, which is going to be great. So yes. Becky Books is going to expand. So yes. We encourage you to share the website, share, if you're on Facebook, share the Becky Book page so people, more and more people are aware of the books, because we do everything we can to make them, like you said, we hold each other accountable. We're not just, sole authors in that case, because like you said, it's vetted through research, but we also vet it through one another. And so we have accountability, which is really important.
And we are very hard on ourselves. Just so
yes.
Everybody knows. We're very strict about how we do it. And and just like you were saying, Keisha, there are different tiers that we're developing of levels, beginner, ultra beginner, intermediate. Though mm-hmm. I will say a beginner could benefit from anything intermediate, even advanced. Sure. And you know what? A seasoned person. I had a person super, super seasoned that called me up and said, Colossal Controversies, I learned like 18 things. And they had studied so much longer than me. So it's not even about like how seasoned we are or how many years.
Well, sharpens iron, right?
Right. And not like a radiologist knows a little of everything. And Becky Books are specialized books. Each book is very specific on that topic. So you can get a little bit further. And so the other thing is that I want to mention is that the books are available on Amazon. So you can type in Becky Book and it will bring up the Becky Books. You can type in Keisha Gallagher or Robin Gould or Halissa Alewine. You can, or the, any of the authors, and their books will come up. So you can order it on Amazon as well.
And they are all available in Kindle format.
Yes. Yep. They are. And then the Matchbook program is we're affiliated with that. So that helps put things together. So I think that, and they're very inexpensive. That's the other thing. It's very difficult to spend a lot of money on books, and we don't have a lot of money. So we want to be able to provide a resource that we can afford to share with other people and not right. care so much if we get it back,
exactly.
and they can pass it around or whatever. So the books are really inexpensive. They're, $5.99 to maybe $6 or $7.99 at the most.
Right.
Very inexpensive.
Yeah. And and like you said, that you can easily do the Matchbook program and have a Kindle format where you can have it on your phone if you're sitting waiting, doing something. And they're just easy to share because of that cost.
Yep. I think so. I think, and I've actually gotten a lot of feedback about that it was very easy for people to buy 5 or 6 and then just have them for, hey, oh my gosh, we're discussing Peter's vision here. Just happen to have this very glorified pamphlet. Just,
right.
take this with you and see where it takes you. I think that's a very big strength about the books. I also enjoy the fact that, which I really love, supporting things that have a very positive paradigm in and of themselves. And I feel like Becky Books are women who are not competing with each other. I love the spirit of Becky Books between the authors. We do have a Becky Books retreat each year where we throw around ideas. We try to help each other to make our jobs and our lives easier and support and encourage each other. And I love that sort of female-friendly environment of just encouragement, because in the, out in the world, there's so much competition between women.
Right.
It's disconcerting. It really is. But I feel like when we, when we get to our retreat, I mean, all that's just checked at the door, and people are just there for each other, sharing tips and teaching, and we laugh and have a good time. And like you said, it's good for people to submit topics they feel like they're encountering and running into all the time, and they'd like a resource for that. Because like Calissa, Dr. Aylwine is always saying, that our tagline is, if whatever you're talking about, whatever you're encountering and you need answers, there's a Becky book for that. And we would like there to be a Becky book.
Yes.
For whatever it is that you are. We will eventually get every topic covered. That's
yes.
Every.
That is our goal. That is our goal. Yes.
As so they we'll come have about. A job for a long time.
Hopefully so. But I do like the part where you're talking about the women lifting one another up. I see that even outside the Becky book concept now. I think more and more people are starting to realize that you don't build relationships or communities by tearing others down, because you're, in that sense, you're destroying, you're not building. And so when we lift one another up, we are lifted up with them.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And it feels so good. And you know what?
Yes.
When you are tearing something down, you are actually tearing something down that God built.
Exactly.
And that's so serious. You know, and if people have a problem with a teacher, there are times people don't agree or they feel like something's egregious or whatever. There's a proper protocol to dealing with that. And I love that Becky Books is just above that sort of thing. We're above the fray in that way. Or I guess above the fray is a negative thing, isn't it? So we're below the fray? I don't know. Next show, I will have that figured out. But I think I like supporting things that support good things.
Yes.
And good initiatives. And I think that's really important. So I think that's just the way we want to model for the family. People that are more mature in the walk, acting that way, acting more mature. And
yes.
Helping other people become mature. And we're not going to do that with a ruler slap to the wrist on anyone.
Exactly. And,
yeah. So I really like the tone of the Becky books. So I'm thinking about you, Keisha. So
it's either one's fine.
Do you get a lot of mail or interesting comments about your book?
I do, and I get questions, and I've even had some that contacted me that they didn't live but about an hour from where I am, and they wanted to come to a meeting, and it was, well, I need to say this first so that people understand. The group that I meet with is an all-women's group, and it's not because we want to exclude men. That's not it. In Jewish tradition, the new moon is generally attributed to be a women's holiday. And there happens to be quite a few women around here where their husbands are not yet Torah observant. And I say yet because I believe they're on their way. But we needed a place and a time to gather. So when we get together and pray, a lot of those prayers are directed toward our husbands and children. And we wanted the women to feel free to be able to say what they needed to say within, you know, the confidentiality within our group. You know, and we're praying for one another. So in the book, I encourage you to either do that type of group or to do it with a fellowship or to have a gathering of families. So there's ideas for all of those. But in our case, it is women. So there were seven women, great number, that came from another town to one of our meetings. And it was so awesome because they're only about an hour away. And I was expecting, as you do when you have guests, that it's sort of like they're coming to drink from your well. Which is fine, you know, but let me tell you, these seven women, they brought their own well. It was incredible.
More and water for everyone.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, now they've started doing, you know, new moons in their area. And occasionally, you know, if our group is happens to meet on the side of town that's closer for them, they'll come. But, you know, and so I get emails like that. I get emails where people are doing their own groups, and I love to see the diversity that's in them. I actually went to two new moon meetings for the month of Av that we're in now. because I did the one here in my town, and then I went to where my family is, and it was a gathering of families. And since they didn't celebrate on the same night, in that case, it just benefited me to be able to go to both. But it was wonderful. You know, there were, they probably had, there was probably 25, 30 people there. And it was, you know, husbands, wives, some singles, kids, and they were all running around and, you know, trying to sight the moon and doing the blessings and eating and praying. So I loved to see the difference in their format, you know. So, yes, I do get that. And fortunately, I have not had a lot of people write to argue about when the actual new moon is. So that's been the good news.
Oh, good. I wondered about that. I wondered what kind of letters. But I think that's a testimony to the book itself, that I believe the book is infectious in its joy of what it's presenting, and it's not usurping anyone's idea of what it's not presenting. So right. I think that, and I think that's nice. You're saying that people can come and do it your way if you want. You have no copyright infringement issues there, or they can do their own way. They can have, I know you have had a different theme for what that month is, which is really neat, because then people are learning about the months, and you can't help but learn more biblical information as you are learning more biblical information. So I think that's wonderful.
Well, the second half of the book, I set up purposely to just go through the 12 or 13, if there happens to be a second month of Adar, all of those months in a year, and just to give you ideas. And I even phrase it as they're a springboard for you to do whatever you want to do. But I did, you know, check through a lot of various Jewish resources on the months. And so I will tell you the tribe, they associate a tribe with each month. And it wasn't just a name drawn out of a hat that they chose for the month. It was based on the encampments around the tabernacle, how and when each one would line up when they would go out to war, the meanings of the actual names of these tribes. So in other words, there was a lot of thought put into the tradition, and we have gained a lot just by studying those things for that month. For example, with Av, the tribe is Simeon. So it has to do with hearing, or to Shema. And there's a lot to Shema in the month of Av, as we were just discussing, even with Tish B'Av, but then also the transition to joy with Tu B'Av on the 15th. So I do tell you both the biblical feast days that may be included and Jewish tradition. Let's see. And I give you even ideas for foods that are intertwined with those things, whether it's about a feast or...
I found that helpful.
Well, we do too, even though it's not always, you know, it's not always something that's just hardcore. It has to be these things because I wrote them in the book. That's not it either.
Well, it's not a science. It's an art.
No, exactly.
And that's okay.
It is totally fine. And then I give you some scripture references that are associated with those that month. I also did put the mazel, which is the constellation that is in the sky. And I knew that might be controversial, but it's not about astrology. It's not New Age. The creator put the constellations in the sky. And I believe that they do proclaim the good news. I believe that the whole story is up there in the sky. So it's not about fortune telling or divining, but it is, you know, about his story. And so I did include that as well. When we get together, we might discuss those themes, and I sort of put a few paragraphs under all those little bullet points with these little nuggets, just to sort of tie them together and see how you might come up with a teaching, or it just might jog your memory or make you think your mind go this way or that way. That's one of the joys, I think, about studying the Word, is because to me, it's like a diamond. We're each seeing little facets or sides or cuts in the Word, and when you all bring it all together, then you get more of a complete story. So now I do have on my website, in the menu heading, you can find, well, I've changed the name more than once. I think I call it New Moon Helps or something like that. But it's in the menu, and it has something to do with the new moon. But if I have written about that month in the past, I'll link to it. Or if I've got new thoughts, I might link to that. So this is going to be an ongoing thing, because every year, and you know this just by going through the tour portions, the cycle every year, yes. Every year there's a different thing that you see or stands out to you.
Yes.
Well, that happens with the months as well.
Yeah. And I noticed that. And I love anything cyclical, because we are Hebrews and that is how we think.
Right.
We're not linear thinkers. And I found that the book, your book in particular, I love that book, because I feel like your personality does come out in that book, which I think not every book can always.
I hope that's a good thing.
No, that is a good thing. It's a fun book. You know what I mean? And a lot of people have never even heard of the new moon and think that's in the Bible at all. They think that's all astrology.
Or witchcraft. You know,
witchcraft and astrology
and witches. Yeah,
exactly. And so I love that you are able to dispel that. And I think the Becky books in general do dispel a lot of myths that people, you know, with even Dr. Aylwine's books about, you know, tradition. Is every tradition a tear? You know, right. What's the root? What does it look like? And she goes into such beautiful detail about how is a healthy way to think about that.
Yes.
Wonderful, helpful book. I
even
love
a
that.
Flow chart. She's even got a flow chart so that if you're unsure, you know, you can follow the flow chart through with whatever it is and then make a decision on whether this is beneficial or if it's a tear.
Yes, she does.
Grown from the Torah, or is it something else?
That is a huge sense of argument that you're basically always encountering.
Right.
People argue about I've heard people argue that, this was an interesting one, but one person was very irate and upset because this little old woman who was just start, and I mean that flattering, I love sweet little old women because they are so wise and sweet.
Oh yeah, they are. They've got
had some feisty ones, believe me, and especially in my family. But I will say, she had set up her very first sukkah, the very first sukkah, and she was very proud of it. And she had a little picture, and she was new to Facebook. I don't even know if she knew how to use Facebook hardly, but she got that picture up there, and she had put little white lights in her sukkah.
Right.
And she had gotten just lamb-blasted by a person that said, no, you are honoring Christmas by doing that, and that's a tradition of Christmas that you should not generalize over to, you know, Sukkot. Anyway, it crushed this little woman. She was so upset. She thought, oh, I'm so sorry. I caused such an offense to everyone. And people were like, what are you talking about? No, we're not offended. That one person misunderstands what traditions are
exactly.
And what that means and how to look at that. And it's like, I just want to mail that Becky book to that person and to that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just an example of how, you know, that person, if that Becky book was around at the time, I think this was 10 years ago that happened, maybe five, but you know, I don't know, the years run in together now with all the things that happen with what we're doing. But, yeah, I wish I'd had a Becky book to hand out, that particular book.
Well, me too. I mean, just in my own life, just trying to, you know, there's things that there, if there's one thing I know for certain, Robin, it is that Yahweh constantly changes my mind on things. And it's, I have a hard time drawing lines in the sand because maybe I'm not mature enough to handle whatever it is that he's trying to show me. So over the years, I have come to discover I might think that I have studied the whole issue out completely. But the truth is, I am finite. I am human. And I also am flesh. And so sometimes my convictions are not coming from him. They're coming from my own flesh. And so this is one of the great things about the creation gospel by Dr. Aylwine, because she helps you to be able to discern between those differences. But nevertheless, there was things that I would have, you know, stood up on my soapbox and pointed my finger about. And now today, many years later, after many years in the Torah, oh, I'm ashamed that I did that, because I was actually hurting people. And it was just in my immaturity, my ignorance.
And that's all of us. Yeah. There were teachings I could take back that I knew people filmed with their phones. Like, you're just like,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Where is that? Like,
right.
I'm, you know, praying for a malfunction there. Yes, I agree with you. And I think what's nice about the Becky books is that they're not novel gimmicks. They are actually books that are scholarly with vetted scholarship. They use primary sources. They're not internet searches that we've put on paper.
Right.
archaeology matches, the literature matches, and it takes the information from the root of our faith. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. We're to get back to the root. We're to get to the Ancient of Days and to recycle to that. And return to that. And so the Becky books, I believe, are unique in that they're a series where you can count on each book doing that.
Yes.
Without a lot of flashy, novel, gimmicky, you know, it's like sometimes people in the Hebrew roots world, it's just enough of a gimmick to get your attention, but never enough to transform you.
Right.
And these books take you to a practical application of vetted information. Exactly. And I feel like that's so helpful.
Me too. Me too. But like I said, if I'd had a resource such as Becky Books back in those days that I was talking about, it could have saved me a lot of trouble and probably a lot of people, a lot of grief, even those in my family. Because, you know, when you come into this understanding, you know, when we were talking about, it is about being able to gather. It's we have a hard time discerning the difference between how to sacrificially love someone and compromise. And so we always tend to side with no compromise. I can't compromise. Mm-hmm. And really that's not what's going on. You know,
you said a mouthful there. That's a whole show.
Oh, it is. It really is. And I've come to sort of hate that word. because we don't understand what's going on. And when we, in our own ignorance, we end up burning bridges, isolating people, or we put them in a box that we've labeled either unholy or what, you know, we just, then that's not what we're called to do.
Right.
We do have to make distinctions and judgments, and I'm not saying that, but we're supposed to judge with righteous judgment.
Yes.
And yes. I don't and think wisdom. That we know what that is. Maybe
and with the family in mind, right?
With the family in mind.
We're not just a bunch of individual islands crashing into each other and deciding, well, crashing into you was kind of fun. And I think that's the way we could think about how, and like I said, that's what I want the point of this program is I want people to be together. I want listeners to realize that we are all together. We're in this together. We traverse together. We cry together. We laugh together. We learn together. And the point of being together can sort of outlive all the things that drive us apart.
Exactly. And you know, that's something that I think we have such a problem with it because it does stem from our Western Greek mindsets. Because in Western Greek mindsets, we are very much individuals.
Yes.
But the Jewish mindset, the biblical mindset, is all about community.
Yes, I agree. And I notice, just to piggyback on that point, it seems like in the mainstream, where we're supposed to be individuals, we're too community-oriented. And when we're supposed to be community-oriented, we're too individualistic. We just have it backwards. You know
what I mean? We do. You're right. You're right.
And we miss some of that. And I think that the fruit of that has been revealed and exposed. And at the same time, I feel like I do notice a very perceivable shift. Where yes. I really, like I said, that holy colander has been sifting. The big heads are still in the colander.
Yes.
And the smaller ones slip through and they're like meeting each other. Like, hey, how are you?
Look exactly.
At you, you know, and yeah. And that is happening. And
it is.
I love that. I actually noticed very particularly this feeling. Now, I'm in Vermont, so I'm not having anything bad to say about Vermont, but I will say it's not a hotbed for my faith.
Right.
You know, I have not met, I've not found much fellowship here. So I have been fairly isolated myself and really realizing the value of community. Community is so important. This walk is not designed to be alone. You are not designed to be alone. We are in a wilderness and we need each other.
Yes.
And I think that people thinking that they can go it alone can really become twisted in their thinking.
Yes.
And I know from experience myself, I've, you know, found myself becoming more withdrawn at certain times when I've really not had enough fellowship and accountability and just sort of that encouragement and that lifted up nature and just thinking about other people besides what's going on in my own life. I mean, we all have our own struggles,
right.
But to be there together as a family is just so important. And that's really what I feel like my vision for this show is to dynamically pursue topics that are fascinating in our books and take them to the next level and to get into these authors' heads and figure out who they are and to be together and just to really find that united front that we have because we are strong when we are together. And, yes. And I hope that, and I really was so excited that you could be the first guest, very particularly because I know that your heart is there. I know all the Becky Book authors' heart is there, but you're the one that I know probably the best personally in terms of being able to really express that in a romantic sort of a, you know, courtship sort of a way.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I just hope that that continues. I, like you, Robin, I see a shift. I see this happening, and I particularly see it with the women, which a lot of things do come first to the women. It's like we're feeling this, you know, wind from the Holy Ruach, and it is about gathering the people together. And it's not about perfection. You know, our idea of perfect, or you think you have to think exactly like I do, or, you know, yes. Or you can't be my friend. I mean, that's like little kids.
Yes, it is. And you can be so right, you're wrong.
Exactly.
You can be completely right about something and so wrong about the fruit of your knowledge.
Exactly.
I think that is coming to light and is being illuminated. And so mm-hmm. Becky Books, we want to be a part of that beautiful light illuminating what needs to rise out of the ground and blossom and flower and not a tear and not a weed. And Becky Books are designed to bring people into a new revelation and not to try to squelch everybody else.
Right. Yeah, that's not what it's about. And, you know, we didn't mention this, but all the Becky Books also have, sometimes at the end of chapters or sometimes at the end of books, questions, study questions. So they can be used in your own personal study, but it's really good food for thought. I love to get with a group of people and do and study and have provocative questions. Because then you get an answer from everyone. Everyone sort of sees, like I was mentioning earlier in those cycles, that a different facet. And that's when we start coming together and growing. And even if our opinions are a little different, it's okay. You know, we can learn from opposites.
Yes, I agree. And I'm glad you brought that up because I also wanted to mention that each book has a glossary. So if some of the terminology seems unfamiliar, that's explained to you. And there are study and review questions. So I could see homeschoolers being very comfortable with this material and teaching. And you can simplify it down to elementary school, even on some level, and then, you know, goes really easily with high school and, of course, college. But I definitely feel like that's a route that Becky Books is striving for, is to really, like I said, just be sort of a multifaceted resource for whoever's picking it up and whatever they might need it for. So I think that's another bonus. So I'm excited about this show. I hope other people are, and I hope I want to thank you so much, Keisha, for being here today and sharing about your book and your experience as a Becky Book author. It's so appreciated.
No, well, thanks for having me. Anytime. You know, I'm excited about this topic.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. And like I said, we'll have you on the show and we'll discuss your book much further and go into detail with it. But what I'll do now is I will say goodbye to our friend Keisha Gallagher and hope that you go onto her website. Do you want to repeat that one more time?
Yes, you can find me at graceintora.net. And you can email me through there too. So,
yep. And you won't regret it. Good blogs, great stuff on there. So I want you to go there. So thank you, Keisha.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
You are welcome. And I wanted to thank everyone who tuned in today and went the 2 hours with us because we had a really good time sharing with you. I'm excited about this program. I'm looking forward to all the different things that we can learn together. And I am hoping that you on this Tisha B'Av day are feeling connected. That's my goal. So I would like to thank everyone for listening. Looking forward to seeing you next week and hope you have a wonderful week and shalom to you. Bye-bye.